There we go. It's always good to come together and sing and worship the Lord. Psalm 89:1 says this, sing to him, sing praises to him, tell about all his wondrous works. Worship team, guys in the back, thank you for leading us in worship this morning. It's just always good. Hey, as we open God's Word together, one thing that we love to do as a church is to walk through books of the Bible. We like to walk through chapter by chapter, verse by verse, so we don't miss anything. But it's also important to take the time to see what the Bible says about certain topics and subjects. And so we may take some time in between those series to look at different topics that God has for us. And so before Easter, we walked verse by verse through the book of Acts, and we finished that right before Easter. And then in May, I'm excited for our church, going to be walking through a study in the book of Psalm and summer series in the Psalm, so really looking forward to that. But in between, we've been in a short series called Following Jesus. The first week, we looked to Matthew chapter 4 to see who it is that we follow. Jesus is the one who says, follow me. And we saw that Jesus is the Savior. We saw that he is the Christ. He's the promised one, church. We saw that Jesus is fully man, but he is also 100% fully God. And we saw that that Jesus is the Lord. And he is the one that every knee will bow down to one day, church. And we saw what it meant to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus is to be with him and to trust in him and to rely on him, to fully depend on him and to trust him. Now, follow him with abandonment, church. To follow him with abandonment, meaning that we follow him over all other things and all other people. And then last week, we saw that part of following Jesus is to be used by God, to be a part of his mission. And for that, we looked in Mark chapter 6. We saw that lived out in the feeding of the 5,000 men, plus the women and children, probably 20,000 people, where Jesus, again, calls his disciples, his followers, to be with him, and he even calls them to rest for a while, right? To come and rest for a while. And sometimes we need that, church, right? Maybe more often than we like to admit. We need to rest and to be filled up by Jesus. And then we saw that as they followed Jesus, they were able to see Jesus do what only he could do, what only God can do. But Jesus also used them, church. He allowed the disciples to be a part of the miracle that he was doing. And Jesus showed them that when they follow him and trust in him, this is a good word, church. Jesus is not limited by our limitations. Right? He's not limited by our capacity. He is always sufficient. And before we closed out last week, we highlighted the need and the importance of one another as we follow Jesus. We saw from our passage that Jesus sent out his disciples together, right? They served together. They were part of that miracle together. We were reminded, church, that we were never meant to do life and to do ministry alone. We were first made to walk with God, to be loved by God, right, and to obey him, but also to love him, follow him, and serve him. Jesus promises us throughout the word that he will never leave us nor forsake us, and he's going to be with us till the end of the age. If you're saved today, Jesus will be with you to the end of the age. But God also created us, church, to walk with each other, with his family, with the church family. Part of following Jesus, hear me clearly, church. I know our culture speaks against this. Part of following Jesus is walking with Jesus together, right? You won't find the opposite of that in Scripture. You just won't. Right? I know a lot of people said, hey, COVID changed things. Jesus never changed, church. Right? His command never changed. His church never changed. And so part of following Jesus is walking with others, serving with others, doing life with others. And it also means loving each other. And so the call to follow Jesus is to walk with him and rely on him and love him. But to follow Jesus, it's also a call to follow him together, doing life with one another. Church, here's a really important phrase. Christianity is not an isolation faith. It's a togetherness faith, church, right? But let's be honest, okay? Relationships, working with each other, can be hard. And all God's people said, amen, right? We're all different. We all have different ideas and opinions, and we're all still wrestling with our own sin. And so let's just own it. Other people can be difficult, amen? You and I can be difficult, amen? Right? But Jesus calls us to work at it and make it a priority so that we can do life and ministry together. And I think God knew something I think, right? I think God knew that we would struggle with this. The Bible talks a lot about togetherness, church, right? The Bible talks about how we're to do life together. He talks about it a lot. And think about this. We've got quite a few teachers in here. Teachers, if you're a teacher, right, your students are struggling with a certain subject. My wife's a teacher. She's going to make sure I'm getting this right, I think, right? But if your student is struggling with a particular lesson or a subject, you might have to repeat that lesson or those words a few times, right? Because you want them to get it. To make sure that they're understanding, to make sure that they're understanding the importance of it. If our kids at home are struggling with remembering something that you've told them just a few times, amen, parents, right? Because we love them, we find ourselves repeating important words over and over again, right? God's word talks so much about us doing life and ministry together. Why? Because it's important. It's God's design, church, and we need the reminders. Here's a few reminders. Romans chapter 12 says that we're to be devoted to one another. We're to honor one another above ourselves. We're to live in harmony and admonish one another. 1 Corinthians 12 says we're to care for one another and to serve with one another. Galatians 5 and 6 says that we're to serve one another and bear one another's burdens. Ephesians 4 says we're to be patient. Ready? Forgive, right? Speak truth in love with one another and also receive that truth in love, right? It says we're to be kind and compassionate. Hebrews 12 says, don't neglect gathering together as some of the habit of doing, right? You would really, church, here's the reality. You really have to like a three-year-old, close your eyes, plug your ears, and yell really loud to miss that God wants us to do life together. Amen? All right. Some of you don't want to say amen, but it's true, right? Man, some, we just got to like throw a temper tantrum to miss that, but it's there. But one thing that is said over and over in God's word is this: in the church family, with all of our brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world, in the local church family, we are to love one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:9 says about brotherly love. He's talking about the love in the church family. He says to the church of Thessalonica, you don't need me to write to you because you yourselves are taught by God. What are we taught by God? To love one another. In fact, you are doing this toward all the brothers and sisters in the entire region of Macedonia, but we encourage you, brothers and sisters, do this even more. And so as we follow Jesus, we're to love one another and to love each other more and more. That word love, church, gets thrown around a lot, right? Our world says love about so many things. I think we often confuse the word love with lust, right? We hear the word love used for how we feel about a car, a home, or a job, right? We sing songs about love. We write books about love and what we think love is and how it makes us feel. But church, for us as Christ followers, God shows us, Jesus shows us, and defines for us what this real love looks like. And then so we're gonna look at that today, because as Jesus followers, here's a great truth. We have been loved and we are known by our love. Right? And so as Christ followers, our example and our aim in how we love is Jesus. It's not the TV. It's not 50 Shades of Grey. It's not your oldie song or new rap song. It's Jesus, church, right? And so let's look to God's word, see what he has to say to us as a church family and how we follow Jesus and love one another. This morning, we're going to be in 1 John chapter 3. Grab your Bibles and open that up. 1 John is the same John that wrote the Gospel of John, but it's toward the very back of your Bible. 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelations, right? So that's towards the end. 1 John chapter 3. As you're turning there, one thing that's important to know about 1 John is that as John is writing, he lays out different ways for us in which we can know that we're truly followers of Jesus. In other words, if you're saved and following Jesus, John says this: there are certain things that should be true about your life. Right? One of the things John will tell us that should be evident in your life is if you're following Jesus is love. Right? Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Right? We're to love. And from this passage, we're going to see five truths about love, specifically about how we're to love one another right here as we follow Jesus. So let's look to 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 11. Would you guys stand with me to honor the reading of God's word? You guys follow along, and we're going to cover all of this today, but let's begin by reading the first six verses together. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Unlike Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life, spiritual death to spiritual life, because we love our brothers and sisters. The one who does not love remains in death. Everyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we have come to know love. He, Jesus, laid down his life for us. We should also lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Let's pray, church. Father God, as we think about following Jesus, we pray, Lord, that you would use this text in this time to remind us and to teach us, maybe for the first time, what it looks like to love one another. God, a very important part of following Jesus, the first most important part, is that we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that we have a relationship where we're walking with you and growing in our walk with you and pointing others to you. But Father, you call us to do it together. You've built the church. You've brought us together to be your church, and you've brought people here to be a part of the local church here at Authentic Life. We pray, Lord, that you teach us today. Help us set aside any distractions, anything that would keep us from hearing from you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. So remember, as we read this, we're going to see five truths about brotherly love, about the love we have here in the family as Christians. But I want us to start by looking at verse 1 to help us understand why we love in the first place. Verse 1 says this: "See what great love the Father has given us, that we should be called God's children, and we are." John is writing to those who are saved. Church, listen, we are here today. We gather today, we worship today, we open God's word today because of God's great love for you and me, right? We see his love for us. In John 3:16, we see that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, and whoever, church, believes in Jesus should not perish but have everlasting life with Jesus, right? We just celebrated on Good Friday and we celebrated on Easter because of God's great love for us, that Jesus, he came, church. And he died in our place on the cross, and he rose again. He did all of that so we could be forgiven, so that we could be redeemed, so that we could have a new life in Christ, so that we could have a relationship with God. Romans 5:8 talks about God's love for us. It says, but God proves his own love. He doesn't just say it, church. He proves his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so throughout the New Testament, in Romans and Ephesians, here in 1 John, we see that because of Jesus and his love for us, I love this, guys. We don't just have a relationship with him, we're adopted into his family. That's another level, church, right? That's another level of love. And guess what? That means we have brothers and sisters in Christ. And so as children of God, as followers of Christ, as followers of the one who died for us and rose again, we're to love one another in the family that he's adopted us into. Church, I think it's a good idea to just be captivated sometimes. Sometimes just read through the word and read of his love for us. And because of his love, let that lead us to love one another. And now for the five truths about our love for one another. Let's look to verse 11. It says this: "For this is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another." Here's what John is saying. From the first time you heard the gospel of Jesus, you heard that message. You heard that love was a central theme of following Jesus. And so because of God's love for us, Jesus came. Because Jesus loves us, he gave his life for us. And when Jesus saves us, we receive his love. And so as we spend time with Jesus, when we are loved by Jesus, remember we talked about this last week, our lives should reflect his life and his love towards others. Truth number one, the Bible tells us this morning that as we follow Jesus and as we love one another, our love for one another is proof that we follow Jesus, right? It's proof that we follow Jesus. John is saying, guys, this isn't new, right? The message you heard from the start is that love for one another is vital, Right? Love for God is vital. Love for one another is vital. We were saved by Jesus. We were brought into his family. And John is saying that when we're saved, we become part of this family and we're to love and continue to love one another in this family. In John chapter 13, we see Jesus say this. He says in verse 34 through 35, he says, I give you a new command, love one another. Now, that's not the command itself, right? That's not the new command because they already knew they were to love. Here's the new command. Love one another just as I have loved you. You're also to love one another. That's the bar. Jesus saying, I set the bar. This is how I want you to love. Why? By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Part of following Jesus is to reflect his love and to love one another in this family. And Jesus says it so clearly. He says, people will know that you are mine. People will know that you are following me by your love for one another. In other words, they're going to see my love come out of you. And look at what Jesus says. He says we're to love one another as Jesus loves us. We're going to talk more about this in a little bit. But John is saying, and Jesus is saying, you are to love each other, Authentic Life Church. Right? Christ followers, love one another in this way. How do we love Jesus? Just as I loved you. That's a hard bar, church, right? Jesus loved by coming to be with us. He loved by serving us. He showed his love by washing the feet of his disciples. He showed his love by washing the feet of the one who would betray him. People will know that you follow me, Jesus says, if you love one another like this. And so as we follow him, we have to ask ourselves the question, does my life give proof that I'm following Jesus by how I love others? And we know this is a big deal, church, because Jesus says this in John 15, 12. He says, this is my command. Love one another as I have loved you. Jesus keeps repeating things, right? We keep seeing it. He doesn't want us to get confused, church, because we are easily confused. We like the Bible to fit our scenario and make it think what we want it to say, right? Right? But Jesus doesn't want us to get confused thinking it's a suggestion. It's not a suggestion, church, right? Or maybe we love one another when it's convenient or when they deserve it. No, no, no. Jesus says, it's my command to love them just as I have loved you. And so this is just as serious as the command is, don't commit adultery. Or don't take the Lord's name in vain. Or don't steal. Are you with me, church? Right? This is kind of a big deal. We good? All right, all right. And so we need to ask ourselves, how seriously do I take this command to love one another? If people see my life, will they see my love for my faith family? Is the family of God, how do we love like this? Is the family of God, is my church family on my mind? Do I think about them? Do I pray for them? Do I care for them? Do I love his family? Do I love the Authentic Life Church family? Do I love others? Do I serve? Do I use my gifts for the family of God as a way to love them? Do I want to be with them so that I can love them and be loved by them? So that's number one. How we love one another is evidence that we follow Jesus. We saw that last week too, that part of following Jesus, our life and our love needs to reflect his. Now we're going to get in the weeds a little bit. Are you guys ready? Okay, because we've already talked about this, but truth number two, as we follow Jesus, we need to know that loving one another is difficult. Amen? Right? Because of the enemy and sin. Loving one another is difficult because of the enemy and sin. Look at verse 2. John says, love one another, but unlike Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. So we see right there, it's going to be difficult because, right, with Cain, he's of the evil one and his deeds were evil. So because of the enemy and sin, we see through Jesus what love is, right? And then John tells us what the opposite of loving one another is. He says, love one another unlike Cain, right? What did Cain do? He killed his brother. John says, don't do that. In case you guys needed that, right? It's okay to laugh, right? Okay, y'all are pretty serious right now, right? That's kind of funny, right? John said, don't do that. But he's taken us all the way back to Genesis chapter 4 to the beginning. Cain chose not to love. Instead, he chose jealousy, which led to hatred, which led to murder. Jealousy, hatred, and murder existed because of the lack of love and because of the evil one and sin. And it says that Cain was of the evil one. Remember back in the garden, church, people were created to walk with God, to be with God, to trust God, to follow God, to obey God, to be loved by God. But in Genesis chapter 3, here comes the enemy. Here comes Satan. And he tempts Eve, and she and Adam sin. And we see right away, what does sin do? It destroys relationships. When Adam and Eve sinned, their relationship with their perfect creator was broken because God is holy and he is sinless. That's what Satan wants, church. He wants to destroy relationships. First, you got to know this. Satan wants you to have no relationship with God. You need to know that. And if you are saved, Satan wants to destroy that relationship with Jesus. He wants to keep us from being with Jesus and from following Jesus and obeying Jesus and hearing Jesus and loving Jesus. But church, he also wants to destroy our relationship with one another. The enemy and sin not only damage our relationship with God, but it damages our relationship with each other. And this is why loving one another is difficult, because we've got sin, church. And because the enemy has not given up. Notice it says Cain was of the evil one, right? He was made to walk with the Lord and to follow the Lord, but instead he was following the ways of the evil one instead of following the ways of the Lord. His life reflected hate instead of love. His life didn't reflect God, the one Cain should have been following. Here's the truth, church. The devil has a desire, and it's to destroy what God has put together. Amen? Well, we got to own that, church, right? He wants to damage our relationship with the Lord, and he wants to damage our relationship with one another. And here's the truth. He will use whatever he can to destroy those relationships. Whatever he can. Galatians says that our sin and the Holy Spirit, they oppose each other. That word means they're at war with each other, right? They battle each other. And the Bible tells us that our fleshly desires oppose God's desires. That's our sin. The Bible says that the devil is prowling around like a what, church? Roaring lion. Seeking who he may devour. Satan just doesn't want to like stub your toe. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your relationship with God. He wants to destroy your relationship with one another. He wants to destroy the church's relationship with the community around him. That's what the enemy and sin do. They destroy. There's no such thing in God's eyes as a really big sin and a little white lie. Sin is sin is sin. Jesus died for all of those because of his love. But the enemy and our sin destroy. This is why, church family, we talk so much about being with the Lord, being with Jesus. You cannot follow Jesus if you're not spending time with Jesus. This is why we need the Holy Spirit, church. We need to walk with him daily and closely, because apart from Jesus, we can do nothing, right? He's the one who gives us the strength and the ability to love one another in this way. He gives us the example of how we're to love. We were made to walk with him, to be with him, to be led by him, to be loved by him. Why? So that we can live and love like him. You and I, on our own, cannot love one another in this way. We cannot love like Jesus until we have first received the love of Jesus. 1 John 4:19 says, we love. I love you. Right? We love our spouse. We love God. We love others because he first loved us. This is the life God calls us to. This is part of following Jesus. But the enemy and sin, I promise you, they are going to attack this probably daily. And so guess what? As Christ followers, we're on guard. We're watchful. We're alert. And we're with Jesus daily. Church, there's so many reasons why there's so many reminders in the Word of God to fight for unity. Right? To love one another, to forgive one another, to serve one another. Why? Because it's hard. Y'all aren't easy to love. I'm not easy to love. Because we have sin in our life. And because the enemy hates us. and he's going to attack us and attack our relationships. And so as we follow Jesus, we pursue and we intentionally love one another, but we must be aware that doing so is going to be hard because of sin and the enemy. We may not go out and murder like Cain does, but Jesus and John both make it very clear that murder comes from hatred in our heart. And so as followers, we are to love one another and know it's hard. Truth number three, look at verse 13. We're still talking about love for one another here. John says this. He says, "Don't be surprised, brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers and sisters." He's basically saying, we know that you're saved. We know that you're no longer dead in your sins, but you're alive in Christ because we love our brothers and sisters. The one who does not love in this way, context is important. If you do not love in this way, you remain in death. Because the Bible's saying, if Jesus' love is poured into you, it's going to pour out of you, right? And it says this, "Everyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that murderers has eternal life," excuse me, "that no murderer has eternal life residing in him." Now let's be really clear. Paul was a murderer. He's with Jesus, okay? We're talking about a continual hatred in your heart that you've not received the love of Jesus. Does that make sense? He's not saying that if you killed someone that, or if you hated someone that you can't be saved. He's saying that can't be holding on to your heart. That can't be who you are. Truth number three about following Jesus and love one another. This love for one another attracts some but angers others. It attracts some, but angers others. In one of the passages that we just read in John 13, Jesus shows us that people are going to be drawn in by this love, right? They're going to be pointed to Jesus because of our love for one another. We just walked through for a very long time the book of Acts, right? In Acts chapter 2, we see thousands of people in this new church. And what's one thing we see about them? They're devoted to one another and they love one another, right? People saw that love and it attracted them. When people see that our aim is to truly love one another like Jesus loves, they love that. They want to see that in action. They want to be a part of it. They want to experience that. I remember growing up, God blessed us with a really great family, an extended family. By the way, I know I say that a lot. My family by no means was perfect. A lot of forgiveness happened all the time. But our grandparents, our aunt and uncles, our parents, they exampled and expected us to love one another in our family. Forgiveness and patience and helping and being with one another was just an everyday part of our life for our family. And I loved it because our friends would see that. They saw it. They were attracted to it. They were like, "Hey, can I come to your house for Easter?" Right? I mean, people just wanted to be a part of it. They didn't know what they were getting into because my grandma, she died about, well, not even a year ago yet, last September. But she would make, it didn't matter how old you were, Jessica, the first time she's in, she had to do an Easter egg hunt with the rest of the little kiddos. Right? You're going to be part of the family. You're going to be part of the family, right? You're going to be after it, right? They wanted to be a part of our big old family meals and parties because they loved how we loved one another, even when we were messed up. At Authentic Life, people who are around us, they desire to be loved in a Christ-like way. Why? Because that's how God made them. Even if people reject Jesus, they were made to be loved by Jesus. We were made to love and to be loved like that. But again, sin and the enemy make that difficult. So we see many people are drawn in by this love. Many people are like, "Hey, I want to be a part of that." But others are angered by it. John says, "Don't be surprised if the world hates you." And he speaks of those who remain in death, meaning those who are not saved, those who have rejected Jesus. They don't love this way. If you have total hate in your heart, you don't have eternal life, the Bible says. And so this anger and rejection, really what that is really a rejection of Jesus. Jesus says the world will hate you, Christians, because they hated me first. As followers of Jesus, the sinful world, those who have rejected Jesus, they're going to hate Jesus' love. It's hard for me to understand how one would reject being loved by Jesus. But when they do, they're rejecting and they're angered by the love that we have for him, for one another, and for them. Why? Because it points others to Jesus, the one they've rejected. But John says that the world might hate you because you belong to Jesus and because you love one another, because they're not following Jesus. But then he says in verse 14, he says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers and sisters. The one who does not love remains in death. This is kind of echoing the first point, but John gives us truth number three about following Jesus and loving one another. Here it is, church. Loving one another in the family of God is a sign of authentic salvation. Loving one another in the family of God is a sign that you're saved. Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Church, our sin has earned us death, spiritual death. It has earned us separation from God for eternity. But the gift of Jesus, what is this? His life, his love, his death, his burial, his resurrection, us believing in him and receiving that gift brings us Jesus and gives us eternal life. It brings us a relationship with God. When we are saved, church, we're adopted into his family, right? This is salvation. When we trust in Jesus to save us of our sins and confess Jesus as the Lord and the leader and the boss of our life, we are saved from our sins. The Bible clearly says that, right? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not you might, but you will be saved. And John is saying, when you and I love one another as Christ has loved us, it's a sign that you're saved. Come on, right? What evidence is there that you're saved? Well, John says, your heart is full of love, and that love is pouring out of you. That's the sign. That's one of them. Living out this kind of love for one another. Verse 24 shows that when that is pouring out of us, it's because we're abiding with God. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're walking with Jesus. It's a sign we're saved. So to recap, as we follow Jesus, we're called to love one another, right? And that love is proof that we're following Jesus. Our love for one another is going to be difficult because of sin and the enemy, and some are going to be angered by that, others are going to be drawn into it, others are going to be pointed to Jesus by it, but then our love for one another is a sign of authentic salvation. And then look at verse 16. This is how we have come to know love. Jesus, he laid down his life for us. Let that sit with you for a minute. We were yet sinners. We were enemies of God. We were rebelling against him. He laid down his life for us. We should also lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Guys, this is so important. John is going to give us a definition and the model of love. And so to do that, John points us to the one we follow. He points us to Jesus. Remember at the start, we talked about how the world defines love. Man, if you go to social media and you just type on, I dare you, go to the Rita Ranch page and just say, how would you define love?
Can you imagine how many different answers you're going to get? Right? But John is saying, don't look to the world. Don't look to social media. Don't look to the books for the definition or model of real love. Look to Jesus. Young people, as your pastor, hear me clearly. Jesus is your model for love. Amen. Jesus is your model for love, young people. The world is going to tell you a lot of different things.
The world is going to tell you it's lust. The world is going to tell you it's about your feelings. The world is going to tell you it's made up. Jesus says, no, this is love. What is it? Truth number five, our love for one another is defined and exampled by Jesus. Jesus, church, young people, old people, middle people, wherever we are, people, Jesus laid down his life for us, and we should also lay down our lives for one another. And so first we see to follow Jesus underneath that is to love sacrificially. I promise you, love is going to cost you something.
The word love is agape. Here's what agape love is not. Agape love is not, I love you because you deserve it. Because I promise you, none of us would be loved. I love you because you earned it.
That's not agape love. Here's what love is. It's, I'm going to love you even when you don't deserve it, even if you don't love me in return kind of love. That's his love. He loved us when we least deserved it. While we were still sinning against him, we were rebelling against him, we were choosing other things over the one who died for us, church. The Bible says that if we're not saved, we're enemies of God. That is who loved us and how he loved us. He loved us and died for us. And even when others reject that love and him, he still loves, church. Can you imagine that? He's going to the cross knowing that people are going to reject him. But he loves them anyways. His love was sacrificial. And Jesus calls us to this kind of love. Church, here's what that means. We need to sacrifice to love one another. We need to forgive one another. If you've got unforgiveness in your heart, man, I'm telling you, that's a chain Jesus never meant for you. Let it go. You can't forgive, let Jesus forgive for you. Forgive one another. Be patient with one another. Y'all, we're difficult. You're difficult. I don't mean to look right at you when I said that, right? You got it, yeah. You forgive me, man, right? Man, it says you have to. Church, we're difficult. We got to be patient with each other. We got to be stretched out in love. I'm sorry, man. We'll have a, okay. All right. I don't even know where I'm at. Forgive one another. Be patient with one another. Serve one another, church. Honor one another. Bear in love with one another. Be united. Fight for unity, church. This means we put others before us. This is the love that he loved you with. Why should I do that, Jesus? Because that's how I loved you. He says, love my family like I love you. And so we're called to love his family in this way. 1 John 4:10 says, love consists in this. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. If that doesn't mess you up, I don't know what will. When you're sinning against Jesus, he willingly went to the cross because he loves us. And he died for us. Jesus says in John 15:13, no one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. Sometimes, you guys ready for a hard truth? John 15:13, no one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. Sometimes you and I have a hard time laying down an hour for our friends. Whew. Jesus set the bar. And it's an important bar. Because it's this kind of love that points other people to the Savior that will rescue them from hell. And so following his example, to follow Jesus is to see his how he defines and examples it. It's to love sacrificially, and to follow Jesus is to act. We talked about this many times, but we know that his love, his compassion for us, compassion means it's a gut-wrenching love that requires action. So here's what this means. As Christ followers, let's not just say we love. Let's not just say we feel the love, but our love will be put into action, church. This love requires the action of forgiveness, the action to be intentional, the action to pick up the phone, the action to go and be with, the action to serve, the action to put yourself behind, the action to be generous with your money and your time and your resources, the action to help one another. And we see in verse 17, if anyone has the world's goods, when he's talking about anyone, he's talking to the church. If anyone has the world's goods and sees a fellow believer in need, Christians, if you're a Christian and you see another fellow believer in need and you have the goods, if you withhold compassion from him or her, how does God's love reside in you? That's heavy, church. Little children, he wants to make sure we get it. Listen, little children, right? Let us not love in word or speech, but in action and in truth. Talk can be cheap, but action is the proof, right? You can say you love baseball. But if you ain't got no baseball cap, you don't have a glove, you don't watch the game, you've never played it, man, some are going to say, I don't think you really love it. Husbands, you can say you love your wife, but if you never spend time with her or serve her, it may lead her to ask, do you really love me? And vice versa. Kiddos, you may say you love your... Kiddos, young people, you may say you love your parents, but if you don't obey them, they may say, do you love me? Are you with me? Like, we can all wrestle with this. Let our love be demonstrated by practically living it out. Church, this is daily, right? We got to seek the opportunity to love one another in this family, loving one another by encouraging and walking with and praying for and with. It's forgiving one another. It's serving one another. Jesus says, love his family, love ALC by serving and giving and be a part of it and by being present. John says in verse 23, now this is his command that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he commands us. The one who keeps his commands remains in him and he in him. And the one we know that he remains, and the way we know that he remains in us is from the spirit he's given us. I love our church family. I love you guys. God has brought us together. I love that. I love that you all love me, man. I know I can be hard to love. My wife doesn't think so. She thinks, man, he's the easiest thing in the world. But I love that I get to love you. And I love that you all get to love me. That's God's design. Church, as we follow Jesus, we must love one another. And we're to love one another as Christ first loved in you and me. He set the standard. He's the example. He's the model. And I pray that as we love and as we keep loving one another, that we would continue to grow in that love. And the only way we can do that is by being loved by him more and more. And the only way that happens is we spend more and more time with him. And also that God would use that love that we have for one another. I'm going to be honest with you. New people come into a church, they're seeing how you treat them. They are. They're checking out who's that crazy dude up there that yells all the time. Like who, you know. Who's the crazy man with the guitar and stuff like that? They're looking at all that stuff, but I promise you, they're looking on how we treat each other. And when they see that we love each other, they would see that we are pointing others to Jesus. I want to be loved and to love in a way and that God would use that to point people to Jesus. Let's pray.